The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You know what it is in honor of Women's History Month? It is all about the ladies today. It's First Take, but with a twist. This is the First Take, Her Take over. My name is Charlie Arnold. My fabulous co-host of First Take, Her Take, joining us for today's show, we have Kimberly A. Martin, also Chinne Ogumike. Ladies, this is our time to shine. Let's get it. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, Dak Prescott just got a huge deal. There's a lot of other quarterback news going on. And we all know how Stephen A. feels about the Cowboys. So yesterday, of course, he had to invite Michael Irvin onto Stephen A.'s world and talk about Dak's new deal. Watch this.
If the Dallas Cowboys win a Super Bowl, not only will I MC the parade in front of all of those disgusted fans of y'all, I actually wear one of your suits doing it.
I will see you at SoFi, and we're going to be looking SoFi. We're going to be the fi. The Dallas Cowboys going to be at SoFi Stadium. That's right, for the Super Bowl, and we're going to be looking SoFi and SoFi with that star on the
sideline. Oh, my God.
Okay, so you all heard that. Stephen A. has put it on the line. If the Cowboys win a Super Bowl, he will be hosting the parade in Dallas. That will be a sight to see. Marcus Spears, welcome into the show. Welcome to Ladies Hour, Ladies 2 Hours.
What's up? What's up, my sisters? I'm honored to be amongst the GOATs, right? Like, I love it. I love it.
All right, well, let's get into some quarterback talk. We have a lot going on. Dak obviously just got a huge deal in Dallas. So, Kimberly, what are your expectations for Dak this season?
Well, my expectations are a little bit lower than Michael Irvin's. Look, Dak right now is Gucci. Like, the pressure is off. Let me backtrack before my mentions fill up. The pressure is not completely off of Dak. He still has to live up to the contract, but the hard part is done. He got the money. He got the Cowboys to capitulate, give him what he wanted. So now he can relax and do what he does best, which is play football. And if you look at that NFC East or NFC Least until they prove us otherwise, I think the Cowboys are in prime position to be the favorite in the NFC East. Even though the Giants think they're set with Daniel Jones and we don't know what Washington is going to do and Jalen Hurts is in Philly, I get all that. But to me, Dak is the best QB in that division. They have the best roster. So it's on Dak to just go out and show, you know what? I have been the guy. I'm not that fourth round pick anymore that some of you think I am. Like, I can do this.
I am on Michael Irvin energy when it comes specifically to that deal. That deal was so fire. That deal was so fire. I can't believe that's even in his vocabulary, but he did his thing. But, you know, as an athlete that myself has come back, you know what it is, Mr. Spears. As an athlete that has come back from injury myself, I love to see Dak Prescott win. I mean, he is a guy that has really matured in the best way possible after being a fourth round pick right to now, you know, winning the franchise tag battle process, getting that 4-year, $160 million deal. And to me, it was really abundantly clear that he is the engine that made this machine go last season and the seasons before. And Kimberly, you talked about the NFC East. I mean, the NFC East, you know, this is a place that he can, like you said, there's no pressure because he's the certified quarterback in that division. Now, mind you, I am proudly from the state of Texas. And even though it's getting pretty complicated in the streets these days, I know, you know, Marcus Spears, as you are, you know, a former Cowboy yourself, like, to have the pride of a team that wants you eventually, you know, in the contract by the pay, right? He wanted to be there. He wanted to be a Cowboy. You came on Chenangle, Junior Spears, and talked about how hard it was for him to even rationalize leaving. So for Dak to get paid, be on the team that he wants, the O-line is getting healthier. They have solid skill positions. And of course, you've got Zeke, feed me, right? The Cowboys are in a really good position, but, you know, the biggest winner of this all was largely Dak Prescott. And I'm glad to see a guy that is going to be a comeback warrior win.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. But the significant pressure comes from, obviously, the expectations of his individual performance, right? Like, once that money is attached, we all critically, we are more critical to the top tier guys. Like, that's the natural reaction to when you see this type of money being passed out. But here's the deal. Like, Dak Prescott has been playing under pressure pretty much his entire life. Like, he's okay in this moment. Now it's about what the Dallas Cowboys do as a team to continue to build and surround him, and obviously bringing in Quinn defensively to try to get that side better. But Dak is built for this, and I know a lot of people have talked about that, and he's not a rest on your laurels guy. I covered him when he was at Mississippi State and understand his makeup, his family's makeup, the things that he's been through. So all of the congratulatory stuff is warranted because we all kind of have an idea of the journey for Dak Prescott as far as getting paid. But Dak, in the meantime, while we've talked about this for the last 2 or 3 years, has done nothing but perform. He's done nothing but be a really good quarterback and put himself in a position to get what he got on that payday. So I look forward to seeing him have a lot of success going forward. Now it's on Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Will McClay, the personnel decision makers on the Dallas Cowboys staff and the front office to make sure you get creative about how you surround Dak with players. And by the way, let me put this in because a lot of people are talking about the significant cap numbers. This year, Dak is not costing the Dallas Cowboys much against their cap or flexibility to go out and try to sign players to be a good football team this year. And I do consider them the favorite in the division because Dak Prescott is the quarterback. It's that simple.
Well, look, Dak Prescott's bottom still a lot higher than most people's, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. He started at the bottom. Now he's here. All right, guys, let's move on to another quarterback in the same division. Now, Jeffrey Lurie has made it clear he does not want any quarterback competition for Jalen Hurts. He wants to see if Hurts is the long-term solution for Philly. So, Kimberly, what's your expectations for Hurts this season?
You know, it is great. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I feel really good that the front office at least has said, this is the guy. Let's do what we can to make him thrive in this system, because that's not rocket science. That's what we should be doing for all of our players, especially quarterbacks, right? You want to put them in advantageous situations. So this is not like something huge, but it does not happen often in the NFL. Now, if I'm Jalen Hurts, I'm also sort of like, okay, Carson Wentz was the guy not that long ago. He got paid. So every opportunity I go out there, I got to show out, because the Eagles have shown, I don't know, a lot of the moves they made last year, like, none of it made sense. Like, the extension for Carson, all of it together. Extending Carson, drafting Hurts, like, all of it is sort of like, okay, what's the plan? Like, okay, they want to bench Carson. No, they don't. We're going to wait week to week. We're going to put Jalen in. So as an organization, if I'm Jalen, I'm sort of like, okay, each week, I just got to be the best me. Like, I got to go out there and play the roster. Like I said, I think Dallas has the best roster right now. Eagles, I think they have the worst. They got to add some pieces. This is a team in flux, so that's not a great situation for Jalen Hurts. But when Marcus is talking about Dak, he's built for this. Jalen is built for this too. Like, this situation of, you know, not being the guy initially and having to prove yourself. And when you talk to people around the league, they're like, this kid just has something. This kid is so magnetic. People just want to follow him. So even though this roster may not be where the Eagles need it to be, best believe Jalen is the kind of quarterback that can rally the guys and say, you know what? I can take over. I can win this game. I can put you in a good spot. Like, I can throw you open. So I think we got to be a little cautious about what we expect from the Eagles in 2021. But if Jalen just shows improvement, that's all you can ask, really.
That's a fact. And you're right. When I look at that roster, that is the big energy, Kimberly. Make it make sense. There's a lack of a plan. And I'm glad that the Eagles aren't looking to, like, repeat history that got them in all that trouble last year, where they had no plan for their backup quarterback that actually saved the day based on how things shook up with Carson Wentz. It amounted in a, you know, a pretty untenable relationship between, you know, quarterback and coach that got both of them out of town. Now, the interesting part to me is that, you know, this is a really quarterback quarterback-rich draft. And I don't know if you guys caught, you know, Todd McShay's last draft mock-up, five QBs going in the top nine in the NFL draft, which is wild. But if you have the sixth pick, I'm just glad that they're not looking actively to sort of, you know, create these mistakes that they just did a year or so ago. And they're trying to build with a little bit of stability based on what they saw towards the end of last season. So they're going to figure out how to replace, restructure everyone surrounding, you know, Jalen Hurts, starting, you know, with Nick Sirianni trying to figure himself out as well. So it's a complicated scenario, but I feel like this was a smart move.
Yo, smart move. Both of the points you made, both of y'all, the points you made was great. Look, it's an open endorsement for a young quarterback that's really the only guy you have on your roster right now. But I'm going to tell you, from a football standpoint, it makes me nervous because this sport is built on competition, or at least having somebody as a succession plan or that can kind of bridge you. It's what Chicago tried to do with Nick Foles. It's what teams do when they bring in veterans like Fitzpatrick, when they trying to just, okay, listen, We giving you the keys, right? You at the helm. We giving you an opportunity to go out and see what you can do. So obviously there's the pressure, and I'm with you, Kim. He's built for it. But the bottom line is, when you come out and openly endorse, especially from an ownership standpoint, now the coaches and the general manager and the people, the personnel daily, day-to-day working with Jalen Hurts has to have that in the back of their mind, even when they're watching a potential competition play out. But as we stand today, Carson Wentz is in Indianapolis. Jalen Hurts came in the final four games of the season, did pretty good, beat the Saints in his first debut outing, which I think is a little bit less difficult because teams don't know what you're going to do or who you're going to be. But it's an endorsement because he's the only guy there. But I expect for them to at least make a move in order to not only solidify that room, but to create some type of competition in camp going forward to make sure Jalen is ready to do what they need him to do at that spot.
Yeah, Hurts the only quarterback under contract as of right now. Now let's move on to Seattle. Now, Seahawks president sent out a letter to the season ticket holders already this week talking about the upcoming season. And interestingly enough, he mentioned all the star players, but neglected to mention the quarterback, Russell Wilson. So, Kimberly, what are your expectations for Wilson in Seattle this season?
What are we doing? What are we doing in Seattle? You know, I don't – listen, I think Chicago Bears fans are really hoping that Russell makes his way over there, right? I completely understand that. I don't see – if you're the Seattle Seahawks, I don't see how you just say, oh, okay, we're just going to – okay, cool. We'll just – Russell, he's unhappy. We'll just trade him somebody else. Like, that to me – I don't see how that happens, right? But as we've seen, crazier things have happened this offseason. But this, you know, Russell sort of talking about, you know, the need for protection, which is clear. We can see the way he's gotten hit. They need to do something with that O-line, right? They need to add O-line pieces. But Russell talking about how he's feeling a little, you know, you get the sense he's feeling a little underappreciated, that other, you know, other elite QBs are getting all the shine. And Russell, you know, is he really the guy? But it almost feels like, you know, in a marriage, like, where, like, your husband or your wife is, like, stomping around, and you're like, what's wrong with them? And, you know, and then you're like, oh, they must be mad. And then you start closing cabinets real, like, loud, like, bah! And it's like nobody's talking, nobody's saying anything, but obviously people in the house are feeling some type of way. That's what the Seattle thing feels like. And I feel like they just need to go to couples counseling for a second, or they just need to sit down real calmly and be like, okay, what can we do? You say to your wife, like, baby, I'm sorry. You know what? I was acting a fool. That letter that went out to those fans, that's my fault.
And Kimberly, you're the married one on the podcast. You would know.
I know.
Okay. But I'm not speaking from personal experience, guys. I'm not speaking from personal experience. Everything's great here. But you know, you have those moments. So I think Seattle's got to sit down with Russell. They got to come to agreement because you cannot let Russell go. I'd be more stunned than Mina Kimes if they actually let him go because he's so good. He's so good, and every team, if you don't have a quarterback, like a franchise-defining quarterback, you don't have anything. So Seattle has that. So now they just need to do whatever they can to keep Russell in Seattle.
Look, Kimberly, I was about to say, I cannot fully relate at all to the marriage comp because your girl's still out here in these streets like Charlie trying to find him. Okay, but you talked about like how much he's been hit. This man, Russell Wilson, has been sacked 48 and 47 times in the last 2 years. He's the most sacked out of anyone in the past 9 seasons, right, since he's been in the league. And so you would think, and I know Marcus Spears gets this, you would think that the Seahawks would learn after watching Dak Prescott be left out of the hype video with the Cowboys. Now, things worked out well for Dak after all of that, mm-hmm. so you have to keep your eye on the prize. But I'm just a little bit more surprised that the Seahawks don't realize, like, they're playing this footsie sort of like, who's going to leave first or who's really more mad, and they're trying to flex their muscles. Maybe that's where your marriage comp comes in. But, you know, based on his skill and offensive, you know, firepower at the position, I would think the Seahawks would actually be fighting more to send subliminal messages for him to say. So, you know, I was really surprised at this overall. I still don't think Russ leaves, especially based on how that contract is set up. But the subliminal is like, this is a guy that is extremely calculated in a great way about every move that he makes, not just on football, but his brand. So these things probably are hitting him differently, and I'll be interested to see how this sort of shakes out.
Well, listen, there's a code to how you divulge information, right? If you Russ and you're giving out these breadcrumbs and you're trying to lead somebody down a path to making you believe you either want out or they need to make some wholesale changes in order for you to be happy in Seattle, or you could just be gangster and say, I want the hell out of here. I don't want to be here no more. I want to go play somewhere else in an offense that's going to not only protect me, but I'm going to be able to put up these MVP-like numbers for the entire year. And the offense is predicated on pushing the ball down the field. And it's not Pete Carroll mindset where I want to run it and be physical and all of that stuff. And then the other part is I'm married too. And Kim says, Gene, I've been through it. I've been through it all. And the bottom line is this. When you giving subliminals, when you ain't really saying what you want to say, you ain't happy, period. So at some point, it's going to come out. And then you start getting omitted from things. Like my wife used to, if we beefing or if we got an issue, she asked me most of the time, hey, babe, I'm going to the store. You want me to go to the store with you? Yeah, babe, ooh, I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the store. Mm-hmm. But if she just grabbed them keys and get in that damn car, y'all, and leave and go to the grocery store,
mm-hmm. you
after
don't want
the
that
last
to happen.
9 times she done asked me, then I know something is going on. So something
Marcus
going on
knows.
In Seattle. What I'm asking is for Russ to say what he wants to happen. I want to hear from Russ if that is something he's trying to get to. Anything outside of that, you're just having some issues with your mate. And y'all should talk, communicate, and get over it and move forward, which I think eventually will happen. Yes. And he'll be playing quarterback for the Seahawks.
All right, well, a destination wish list has been circulating. Dallas was on that list, but of course that is now off the table because Dak is there for the long term. All right, Marcus, thank you so much. Thanks for joining the ladies. We appreciate you.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Miami Heat center Myers Leonard is in hot water, having to apologize last night after using an anti-Semitic slur during a recent video game live stream. Now, this video surfaced yesterday on social media, and in it, Leonard can be heard using the derogatory term. Leonard took to social media yesterday to apologize, saying, quote, "I am deeply sorry for using an anti-Semitic slur during a live stream yesterday. While I didn't know what the word meant at the time, my ignorance about its history and how offensive it is to the Jewish community is absolutely not an excuse, and I was just wrong. I am now more aware of its meaning, and I am committed to properly seeking out people who can help educate me about this type of hate and how we can fight it." Now, the Miami Heat already released a statement. They said that Myers would be suspended indefinitely. We are still waiting on a statement from the NBA right now, though. And with that, seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry in the house. But, Shanae, I want to start with you. What do you think should happen as far as the NBA punishing Myers for this action, for his anti-Semitic slur?
Yeah, the Miami Heat and the NBA are already going down the path of investigation, obviously, for punishment for Myers Leonard for his public use of the anti-Semitic slur, and rightfully so, because, you know, as an NBA analyst here at ESPN and also a WNBA player who just genuinely loves hoops, basketball is basketball, this really gave me so much pause yesterday discovering this. And I was out here in Los Angeles working with my agent, who happens to be a young Jewish woman. And I was reading the story, and I grabbed my phone and I pointed to her, and I had to ask her what that word was. And she had to educate me on its history. And I appreciated her taking that time. And I saw a number of people going through that same process of what did he say? And why was this even said? And I think overall, you know, there's zero tolerance for hate speech, period, as a society. We've been having these conversations, especially after the summer of 2020, where many have been actively educating themselves on how we move, how we stand, how we look to our left and to our right and treat one another, right? And I'm talking about not just the Black community and the conversations we're having with the white community, but we're also standing in solidarity now as we're seeing, you know, time go on with the Asian community fighting Asian hate. And so anytime hate speech is involved, we must condemn it. These are necessary conversations, and they are inclusive conversations for this exact reason. So, you know, private or public use of any word, it cannot be tolerated. And that, and I just think personally, that is on us to govern in our own circles, right? For that exact reason. Now, as it pertains really to the NBA, they're heading down the right path, you know, as he will be away from the team indefinitely. Mind you, he is already out, you know, for the season with shoulder surgery, but this allows him to apologize properly to the people, you know, publicly, which I know he just posted an apology, but also, you know, that's a start, but also privately apologize to the people, you know, that he might have offended as well. And he doesn't have to look too far because, you know, the Miami Heat owner, Mickey Arison, and his son, Nick, the Heat's, you know, CEO, they're Jewish. And so I always say in this time, you have to educate yourself so that you can educate others. And that's exactly what Myers Leonard will have to do with his time away. I wouldn't be surprised with the docking of pay. And we can't have this standard of, oh, in this culture, this words mean, you know, means this. And like, all of it is bad. This is conduct detrimental to the team. I think per, you know, past policies, a lot of times it comes down to the team conduct policy where they're probably going to dictate, you know, how many games potentially missed, which means dockage of pay. But overall, this, you know, conduct, even if it was done on his own time, on his own dime, on his own Twitch stream, which, by the way, he's been, I think, banned from those partnerships of, you know, even if it's done on his own time, you know, it's done in public, it's done in private, it's all bad and it's all wrong, as any hate speech should fully be condemned.
Now, before we move on, I just want to make one clarification. He has not been suspended from the Miami Heat team. He's just away from the team indefinitely as it stands right now. Kimberly?
Yeah, you know, here's what got me about this whole story. It wasn't just the use of the slur. That tired apology that he put out. And the reason I call it tired is because you know, he said, he claimed, I didn't know what that word really meant. And I don't fault him, I don't fault anyone for not understanding the history of war or anything like that. It's all on upon us to get educated on all history, right? But the way he used it in a string of words like you know, effing cowards and all this stuff, like bleeping this, like he at least knew it was negative, right? So you may not know how, when it started, how bad is it, like, but you know it's bad enough where that should not ever come out your mouth. So to me, when I hear something like this, like if this were an NFL player, like I'm looking at the team, like don't wait for the NFL, like the team needs to step in, suspend this person, you know, stuff like that, because fine him, because to me there has to be zero tolerance. And especially, you know, with him standing during the anthem last year, I understood, you know, everybody has their preference and what they wanted to do during that, but he was the only guy on the team that stood up during the anthem. And he said, he even told Mark Spears, our undefeated writer, you know, I respect patriotism. Like, I have deep patriotism. I respect Black Lives Matter, but, you know, I'm rooted deeply in patriotism. And so to me, I've seen this person now conflate patriotism and protest as if this country wasn't founded on the backs of protests and, you know, fighting oppression and British rule and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm just a little concerned of the lack of awareness, but that doesn't mean he can't educate himself. But just because you get caught in a situation doesn't mean that you just release a statement saying, I'm sorry, I just didn't know. You got to do the work now.
For me, I think if you look at his history, and it started for me in the bubble with him standing and his ignorance into what the Black Lives Matter movement meant. Now this is a more ignorance of him not knowing what a word meant and using it. So it's almost like you got it. The NBA has all these programs. It's like now you got to start a program on, hey, this hurts people, this is offensive, this word you cannot use. And to me, he's just using words and going by what his own feelings and beliefs are and not being educated by different communities, different cultures, and different things that's happened in this world. And so this is what is really needs to be happening. While they suspend him, they should dock him with pay. They should make him step away. They did it with the Clippers owner. Yo, go away. All right, so take him, go away, and educate him. Make him attend classes. Make him do these all these things to educate himself. So if he's allowed back with the team or any other team, he would be educated and informed. He would know. And this, I totally agree with you about the generic apology. You see these apologies so many times. It's almost like they have a template for these apologies, and guys just follow and say, "Oh, this, no. That's not. I don't want to see you come out and read something. I want to see you. You have this Twitch platform. I want to see you come out and you actually say the words. Speak from your heart. This way, I'll know who you are as a person, because if you're speaking from the heart, I can know if you're genuine or not. But if you're reading from a piece of paper or you wrote something down, I don't believe that, because, you know, there are a lot of actors in this world and you can read something and act a certain way. But if you're speaking from the heart, I know who you are. And right now, Miles Lynn, I don't know who you are. And if I'm a teammate and I know Jimmy Butler, if I'm Jimmy Butler, I'm stepping back from you and I'm the captain of this team. I'm like, dude, go away. Don't come to this team until you educate yourself, until you can do a public apology the right way.
Well, a lot of people feel that way. As of right now, as it's being reported, four different partnerships, gaming platforms that Myers had been working with have already disconnected themselves from him. Also, like we said, he will be away indefinitely from the Miami Heat. Now we're just waiting to see what the NBA decides to do. All right, Robert, you're sticking with the ladies, so get ready.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
And the second half of the NBA season resuming tonight, so let's check out the standings. The 76ers sitting on top of the East, but barely, with the Nets only half a game back. The Bucks are in third. In the West, the Lakers struggling without AD in third place behind the red-hot Jazz and the Suns. LeBron and the crew, of course, trying to repeat as NBA champions. Seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry still here with the ladies. And Chinee, I want to ask you, who do you think is the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West?
Well, I love, first and foremost, let me say this, I love what the Utah Jazz have done. I mean, they're one of the most balanced teams, you know, on both ends of the floor. I think they're the only team this season that has been top five in both offensive and defensive rating. They have, you know, an offensive captain, an all-star, Donovan Mitchell, a defensive captain, and Rudy Gobert, who's number two in blocks, number two in rebounds, 13 rebounds a game. I also love what the Phoenix Suns have done. You know, Chris Paul walks into the building, into the locker room, and guess what? He makes everyone have this expectation to win. And I think, you know, Devin Booker is obviously, you know, right next to Damian Lillard, per what LeBron James tweeted, one of the most disrespected but most feared guys, you know, when it comes to his shooting ability. I say all of that to still say that it's the Los Angeles Clippers that are probably, you know, the same team in the same town right here where I'm at in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Clippers that are probably the biggest rival, you know, to the Lakers in the West, just because what I love about them is they have two surefire talent. And I know a lot of people want to talk about what, you know, Paul George did last year in the playoffs. I hate all y'all's nicknames, the way off, all that type of stuff. What he has done this season has been super impressive. Very close to having a 50, 40, 90 type of season, shooting the ball extremely well, tag teaming with Kawhi Leonard, who obviously, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, when healthy and 100% and rested, is a guy that a lot of people know he knows how to win. So that dynamic duo on both ends, just being able to match up with LeBron James and potentially challenge Anthony Davis when he comes back. I'm looking at the Clippers still, largely because they made this big gamble in switching their head coaches from Doc Rivers to Ty Lue to sort of help Paul George be great again, right? Paul George said, hey, like these pin downs, that's not my speed. That's not my style. They made that big gamble, and it sort of paid off when it comes to Paul George's game so far, you know, this season. So I really do think it'll come down to the city of LA. Even though I love what, you know, Utah has been able to do so far this season, they will make noise based on the, you know, confidence they're building in the regular season. But right now, they have a combination of defense, of offense, of now coaching that sort of is helping their stars get over the mental humps. And I do think that they're still the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West.
You know, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, and I'm sitting at home, I don't know if he's up right now, but if I'm sitting at home, I'm listening to Chinee right now because she started off right. She started off right. Talking about all the ways that Utah, this, you know, between Rudy Gobert, me, Donovan Mitchell, like even Mike Conley, perfect setup guy. And then we went, we veered and started talking about some other people. Like, what do the standings say right now? Like, so here's the thing. Like, LeBron even trying to throw shade, like, no shade, but shade to the Utah Jazz, like, recently. Like, what's the deal with Utah? Somebody tell me, what is the problem? Why can't we just give them their props when they're due? Why we got the flashy lights of L.A.? No. Utah, that if I'm the Lakers and I'm a team, if I'm LeBron and I'm like, oh, I got to hold this together while, you know, until AD gets back. Yeah, like, put some respect on their name? What's going on?
No. First of all, Donovan Mitchell's my guy. Three Stripes Life family. Okay, Kimberly.
But is I go he, on national will he television still be? To say will this he
because,
still be?
Because I know that what I say will motivate him to do what he needs to do when it comes to the playoff time.
Okay.
So I got my
right.
bro.
He
oh, yeah, Kimberly, okay. this was all about motivation. Okay. This was all about motivation. That was it.
Yeah. Motivation works two ways,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, the motivation works two ways, and now you sit here and LeBron's watching this too. And think about the biggest threat to the Lakers is health. That's the biggest threat, because if AD cannot get healthy and stay healthy, that is the only thing that's going to derail the Lakers. And it's not going to be because of LeBron. It's not going to be because of AD. It's going to be because all the other guys on the team. Dennis the Menace is playing extremely well. Montrezl Harrell, who they took from the Clippers, who I thought were going to be their biggest threat, is not their biggest threat. And Utah Jazz, you know, the Utah Jazz reminds me of that team out east called the Milwaukee Bucks. You have a great season. You do all these things,
yes.
But the playoffs is a different beast. I'm telling you, the Lakers Back. Have won a championship. And they know the only way to be thought of as a great team is to go back-to-back. You know, if you think about all the teams throughout the NBA history, oh, that's nice. They won the NBA championship. But they're not considered great until they go back-to-back. And that's what LeBron and AD wants to do. So they're motivated. And it doesn't matter where they finish, because it's COVID. We don't know what's going on, the protocol for people coming into to the arenas. We know Utah, they have fans, and they're going to need their fans, because they are not the Lakers' biggest threat. And I love Rudy Gobert. I think he's one of the best players defensively. He's underrated. But the biggest threat to the Lakers is health. Nobody else in the West.
All right, well, let's transition to the East. Kevin Durant, still his return has not yet been announced, but the Nets are the favorites in the East. So, Chinee, who do you think is the biggest threat for the Nets?
You know, if I could pick an abstract, of course I'd say health is the biggest threat for both conferences, right? Okay, Rob? Because clearly they need Anthony Davis, and guess what? Kevin Durant is the icing on the cake on the newly acquired Blake Griffin team, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. It's unfair. But the biggest threat to them on the floor, absolutely Joel Embiid, and I have him right now as MVP of the NBA. I know all you guys in my LA fandom, whatever the case is here in the city, are gonna be worried because I'm switching from LeBron James to Joel Embiid, but he is the most dominant player right now, and he's doing it from the center position. The last 2 weeks have changed a lot, especially, as Rob says, you know, when it comes to health. And the reason I'm talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, I know a lot of people the last few years have been talking about their offensive limitations and pointing to Ben Simmons and saying, we need you to shoot the ball. You shrink the floor for Joel Embiid. Well, guess what? They've figured themselves out in a very impressive fashion. You know, it's been really interesting to see how ever since that James Harden blockbuster trade, we knew exactly who the hierarchy was on this team, meaning Ben Simmons was kind of in those conversations. Joel Embiid was not, and he's delivered so far this season. He's having career highs, you know, both not only around the rim, but more importantly, I think he's shooting like 42% from three. He has been dominant. And the one thing that we've asked of Joel Embiid is health and pretty much availability and consistency, right? And he's delivered on all of those things. And the thing that I love the most about this Sixers team is because, like, you know how sometimes when you play for a city, you know, that's sort of what you embody as a team. I mean, Philadelphia is gritty. And the way that they will compete come playoff time, when we're talking about a year where there are so many teams, you know, shooting record numbers of threes right now, right? The only way they will compete at a high level versus a Brooklyn Nets team that is, you know, on pace to when they have their core four together is to defend. And this team has length at all of the necessary positions. Ben Simmons, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you know, his length, he leads in a lot of hustle stats like deflections, loose balls recovered. You look at the wing, all right? You've got Tobias Harris having a great season, you know, 20 points per game, who can guard wing defenders. And at the center, you have another Defensive Player of the Year candidate in Joel Embiid. So defensively, you know, when the game slows down, I look forward to this Philadelphia 76ers team leaning on that as their strength, but more importantly, offensively, they know who the go-to is. That's Joel Embiid, and they figured a lot out this season.
It's crazy. You mentioned Tobias Harris, who I covered in high school on Long Island. That's crazy to think about how good he is.
We're in the same high school class, by the way.
On this. Good for you. Chinee's actually actually right on this one with the Sixers, because I think if you have anybody who's in the MVP conversation in your division, you like in your conference, like you have to be a little bit worried about them, right? And I will say everything, agree 100% with Chinna. I will say the thing that the Sixers also have, in addition to like all these playmakers, they have the benefit and the luxury of time together, you know? Like, they have cohesion. Like, this is a group that's been together. Whereas in Brooklyn, shout out Brooklyn, that's where I'm from, talk about gritty. But, like, with the Nets, like, you're putting these pieces together, and the big question when they got together was like, oh, is this gonna work? Like, can we see these three pieces come together and like really gelling, and who's gonna distribute the rock? Like who's the person that's really gonna be the lead? And what we've seen is they've answered those questions. They've answered those questions, which is great, but they just got together. So I think that's why, that's another thing the Sixers have, just time together and that, and a lot of playmakers.
Yeah, the Sixers are right for the taking over there in the East. And you look at this Nets team, it's like, how are they going to work together? I know they're looking really good right now because they have two big dogs. Then they're going to have another big dog. Then they're going to have another big dog. Now you got four big dogs. I remember when I was on the Lakers and we had four guys, all-stars, we got swept in the second round by the Utah Jazz. And it's not always about having a lot of talent. You know, sometimes too much talent gets in the way. And I know James Harden is, I'm so proud of him. He's taking the back seat and he's trying to dish and do the right things. But I think the biggest threat to those guys right now is Joel Embiid, because Joel Embiid is that rare center that we don't see anymore who can do it in the post, who can do it outside. I know you can probably say there are other guys like the Joker can do it, but he can't score like Embiid in the side. Embiid, when I watch him, he reminds me of one of the greatest centers that ever played this game, Hakeem Olajuwon. His footwork in the paint, his ability to score and block shots and be there for his teammates is incredible. So that's the only threat that the Nets have. Everybody else is just on the sidelines looking.
Well, lots of worthy teams to make the NBA Finals. Another big question mark, will there be an arena full of fans when that happens? Of course, the COVID-19 vaccination will have a lot to do with that. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. But first, Robert, you held your own. I know this is an intimidating crew, but you did it.
Yes, Rob.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.